Croeso. Welcome to RCF. We hope you enjoy this message.
Church, remember that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong, That's often because there is a spiritual battle going on that doesn't want the work of the church to succeed. So what happened? We get in the first 7 verses of chapter 4. Do we have a volunteer who would be willing to read that out for us? Are you willing to do that? Go on, Andrew, we've got a big voice, thank you.
The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power? By what name did you do this?"
So the crippled man had been miraculously healed. So the crowd rush in to see what's happening. Peter stands up to preach to this crowd. And while Peter is in full flow, what happened? Look at verse 2 of 1. They seized him. And why? That comes to us in verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. The religious leaders did not like the talk of this man Jesus. And if you look at verse 6, Luke actually tells us who's there. Some of those names are familiar to us if you've read the gospel accounts. Ananias, Caiaphas, they were there. They were the people who only a few weeks earlier had got Jesus crucified. And then they thought, phew, we've finally finished with this man Jesus, this troublemaker. And then these guys start preaching in his name. Miracles happen, and they even started to say he has been resurrected from the dead. And to make it worse, as we see in verse 1, these guys were Sadducees, which was a religious sect of the Jews who didn't believe in the afterlife. So this talk of being raised from the dead made them even more angry. And so what did they do? They threw Peter and John into prison. And do you think that opposition came as a surprise to Peter and John? Because sometimes when things are going well for us, don't they? We kind of think, oh yeah, this is going really great, isn't it? And then something goes kind of horribly wrong. It takes us by surprise, doesn't it? I don't know, you may get it when you're playing cricket or rugby or something, football. The game's going brilliant and everything's going fine. You know, 3 wickets later in 1 over and things are kind of going horribly wrong and you're thinking, what's gone wrong here? Do you think it was a surprise for Peter and John? Have a vote. Who do you think it was a surprise? Who thinks they kind of knew this was coming? Hands up if you think who knew that this was coming. I'm sure when they received the words of Jesus. And remember, this is only a few weeks earlier when we've just had communion together, when Jesus had that last supper with the disciples. What did Jesus say to them? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I don't see many people putting this on a bumper sticker on their car, on a mug, or a poster in their house. In this world you will have trouble. You know, maybe that's what we should do to remind ourselves. Jesus said to them, guys, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus never promised us that easy life, did he? He never promised us that it would all go swimmingly. time. So do you get surprised when hard things happen? Do you get surprised when there's opposition? Well, we shouldn't be, because Jesus has warned us clearly that this will happen. And it's a sign when God's kingdom is advancing, there will be opposition. And if we never get opposition, we have to ask ourselves, how are we advancing God's kingdom? You know, it's not comfortable. We don't like it to be all nice and comfortable, but it isn't always going to do that. So they put Peter and John in prison, and you wonder what their attitude would be. Are they going to be wallowing in self-pity, thinking, oh, why is this happening to me? Which is sadly can be our attitude, can't it? When things, hard things happen, we often think, oh, why me? Why is this happening to me? Well, what was their attitude? We see this when they bring them out of prison. The Pharisees ask them, by what power or what name did you do this? So how did Peter respond? You get the rest of the story here. I'll read it out for you. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they couldn't see, they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was completely ancient and was over 40 years old. So, they ask Peter and John, by which power or what name did you do this? And Peter and John stand up, and Peter declares boldly to them, it is in the name of Jesus. And as I thought about this, we see Peter's transformation completely, don't we? From just those kind of few weeks earlier, we see Peter's life completely transformed. Because we're all used, aren't we, to those pictures of transformation, don't we? If it's kind of DIY SOS, or it's kind of Slimming World magazine. I know you've got your own model here, kind of complete transformation. Kurt's the one on the left, by the way, for sure. We were hearing last week about his diet, his success, putting his diabetes into a resolution. You know, we're kind of really pleased that remission is gone. But not to be outdone, Colin Babala has its own version, okay? This is Jack, our youth leader, on his gap this is Jack now. Quite a transformation there. Not quite sure what he's doing there, but in the picture. But complete transformation there. But that's nothing compared to what happened to Peter. Only a few weeks ago, this little servant girl in front of the fire, when Jesus had been arrested, said, "Oi, were you one of the ones with Jesus? Are you one of his followers? I recognise that accent." And what did Peter say? "Me? No way! I don't know the man! I don't know what you're talking about!" Completely filled with fear, denied that he knew Jesus. And now, after being arrested and being brutally treated, this is no kind of plush three-star prison he would have been thrown into, a dark, dungeon prison where he would have been treated badly, and then he gets intimidated by the religious leaders, and he stands up and boldly declares the name of Jesus. So why so different? What's so different? I think we see what has made this difference in Peter. And I think we can see that in these four verses, we get a picture of why Peter is so different. So I want you to read these verses to yourself now, and then I want you to turn to the people next to you. And I want you to think there are one reason which is very obvious, but other reasons, maybe, why Peter has seen this transformation. So we'll read this to ourselves. 2 minutes to do that, and then you can discuss with the people around you. Why do you think Peter is now so different? So what strikes you? What's the obvious thing that comes out to lead to Peter's transformation? We're going to throw it out.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, doesn't it say? Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. So the first reason is he gets Holy Spirit given courage. Filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And it was the same Spirit that Jesus had promised to them only a matter of days earlier. A few weeks earlier, Jesus had said to them, you can read that out for me, any volunteers. Ali, will you read that for me, please?
"But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses."
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And Peter is living proof of that. He has received power, and he is being a witness to Jesus and what he has done and who he is. Do you believe this verse is still true today? Do you really believe it?
Yes.
Because sometimes we don't act as if we believe it, do we? And even if we believe it, do you want to experience this more? Hands up if you do. We certainly want to experience this more. And if we do we pray for that more and more in our lives? The reality of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to give us God-given courage to speak to our friends, to speak to our co-workers, to speak to our neighbours about Jesus. You know, how different would it be is if his church would live as if this verse was real and in the power of this verse. And the problem is, rather than being powered up, I think we kind of live if you have this warning on your phone, low battery, and you get the option of going into a low power mode. Okay? How many of us are guilty of living our Christian life in a low power mode? We don't want to go back. Yeah, we haven't got a charger handy, so I'm going to, I'll just drag it out for a bit longer in the low power mode before the battery goes completely. That's not what God wants for us. And as I was thinking about this week, I was thinking, Lord, and I just don't want to talk about this either. And I don't want you to nod and say, yeah, I'm on to now. I want this to be a reality in my life. On a day-to-day basis, when I go into surgery tomorrow morning and I come up with the patients and the staff, I don't want to be in low power mode. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with courage. When you go back to school, there's nowhere harder to stand for Jesus than the challenging environment of our schools, to know that God is with us and giving us. How different would our lives if we were living with this reality in our lives, not just this low power mode? So let's pray. Let's stop now for a second. And if that is a desire in your heart to really see this in reality, why don't you ask God to make this a reality in your life? And not just pray now, but also create a hunger in your life to see this as a reality in your life. Just 1 minute, just to pray that in your heart before we move on. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of your word. Lord, we don't want to just say that we believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you promised it to us to enable us to be your witnesses. We pray for all my dear friends and brothers and sisters. Let that be a reality this week, that they would experience your Holy Spirit power. When whoever's standing up here next week asks, I want to hear your good stories from this week, Lord, may we be able to give testimony to how your Holy Spirit has enabled us to be bold in proclaiming Jesus in a loving and caring way to those around us. Lord, stir this hunger and this desire in our hearts. Amen. But when I've been thinking about this passage, it's not just the fact he was filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Well, in fact, the Holy Spirit enabled this next thing to happen. But the next thing that struck me was Peter's confidence in Jesus. When Peter denied Jesus was about to be crucified. He was full of uncertainty. Well, who really was this Jesus? Was he the Messiah we thought he was going to be? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to us? But now, things are very different for Peter, aren't they? What does he tell them? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Peter has seen Jesus with his own eyes suffer an agonizing death on the cross. But Peter has also seen him raised from the dead. Peter has seen the empty grave. Peter has spoken to Jesus. Peter's had breakfast with him. Peter's been restored by having that conversation with him. Peter knows Jesus is alive. And Peter has seen Jesus being taken up into heaven. Peter knows he's alive. He knows he is Lord over all. And of that fact, he is in no doubt whatsoever. I just turned on the radio this morning and the Sunday service informed me that today is Sunday of Christ the King. Did you know that? Sunday for Christ the King, if you have any good Anglicans in our Catholics in our, where they celebrate Jesus' lordship over the whole of the universe. It's a good thing to celebrate. Not just this Sunday, but every day. And Peter knew this was true. He'd seen it with his eyes, and he knew it doesn't matter what they do to me. They can put me in prison, they can tease me, they can kill me. Because I know I'm going to be with my Jesus, who is Lord over all. Have we got that confidence in our Lord Jesus? And that's why Peter can say his famous verse, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." It's a bold statement, isn't it? He's telling these religious rulers and the crowds, you will not be saved unless it's through Jesus. Was it a popular message that day? Is it a popular message today? Does that go down well? No, people think, oh, you're bigots, that you're kind of, who do you know? You're hypocrites. Who do you say that you've got this exclusive revelation of the truth? But Peter knows. Peter has seen Jesus dying on the cross. Willingly, voluntarily, out of love. And Peter knows, did Jesus do that because he wanted to give people another option, another way? Well, if you want to be saved my way, then you can come and do it my way. But there are lots of other ways, so don't worry, you don't have to do my way. But I'll die on the cross to give you one extra little way if you want. Peter had seen him die on the cross because God would not send his son to do that if there was any other possibility. For those of us who are parents, and when your children are ill, I know we've had to, Sarah's had to have a number of operations, and you know the pain and discomfort she's going to be in it afterwards, and you think, well, are we going to do that if there's any other option? We're in this Gilboa this week, and the surgeon was saying, well, we could do this operation, and shown horrendous pictures of what would be entailed with the frame and everything. And so we're gonna explore every other option before saying, well, let's go down that road. There was no other option. Peter says salvation is found in no one else. Do we believe this? Lost without Jesus? Yeah. I know you take yes. I know I take yes. I'm not a heretic. I do believe that. But do you really believe it? Do we see people around us in the light of this truth and have love and a compassion for them because of this and desperately want to show them Jesus? Change the way we lived our lives. Just have a moment to turn to the person next to you. Be honest. How do you react to this verse? It's a kind of in-your-face verse. We want to squirm away from it, don't we? But how do you react to this verse? Do you really believe it? And if you do, are we living out our lives as if we really believe this moment? Be honest with one another as you turn to the person next to you. Hey, we'll have opportunity at the end to talk through this further, but as I've just thought about this passage these last couple of weeks, it's stirred in my heart. I want my life transformed by Peter's life. Anybody else who wants to see this transformation in your life? That we live full of the power of the Holy Spirit, living, showing that courage that comes out from him, and with that unshakable confidence in who Jesus is. Lord, do this in my heart, in my prayer this week. And when this happens, people notice, don't they? This, when this happens, it's not something that happens quietly and that nobody else will see. People notice, like they noticed in Peter and John's life. Look what the religious leaders, who hated this talk of Jesus, hated his disciples, but look what they had to say when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. Took note that these men had been with Jesus. Isn't that a great verse?
Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic? They looked at Peter and John, and what did they see? They saw courage, didn't they? They saw a certainty that didn't come from their training, didn't come from their schooling, didn't come from their background or their privileged position in society. There was no other explanation for this. They were ordinary fishermen who were in the lowest ranks of society, and Jesus deliberately picked them to show this is all about me. And they looked at them. They were astonished. And what did they have to take note of? That these men had been with Jesus. Because they couldn't think of any other explanation. Why are these common, uneducated fishermen, why is he, Peter, able to preach like this? And the only thing they can realize, much to what they don't want to think, it's because they've been with Jesus. And I thought, when people look at my life, what do they take note of? When they have a look at your life, when they see the way you live your life, when they see the way you treat your friends, your neighbours, your colleagues, your family, your wives, your husbands, when people around see that, when they see what you speak about, when they see your attitude, what do people see? What are they amazed by? Do they see courage? Do they see Christ-like qualities in us? That's what I want them to see in your life. Is that what you want them to see in your life? When they look and see, and they say, oh, the house, you know, when we, you know, look at his life. Look at that kid. You know, what do they see? So, let's just have a time to pray to finish now. Because this could be just another talk, couldn't it? For me, it could be just another sermon I deliver. I'll do another one next week. Move on, forget about it. So long for this to be reality in my life, and that has been my prayer for you guys this week. That we will be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit given courage, with a God given confidence in our Lord Jesus. The display Jesus. So much. You are alive. We can have that same confidence that Peter had because we know it's true. Lord, that you are here with us. And Lord, thank you that you are still in the business of transforming lives. Lord, that the story of Peter is not there as a story just in the Bible, but Lord, it's there because that's what you want to and can do. And when we ask you, you will do in our lives. So Lord, will you take us, unschooled, very ordinary people, in your ways? Pour out your Holy Spirit. Just fill us afresh. Will you give us a hunger, a confidence, a burning in our hearts for more of you and to make you know? Because, Lord, salvation is found in no one else but you. Lord, forgive our cold hearts. Forgive for so long that we've been living on that low power, Lord. Lord, I don't want it to be true for any of us anymore. Holy Spirit, can have your way. Just as the band come out, we're going to just continue that prayer as we sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on us. And as we sing it, let it not just be a song to finish. Let it just be a heartfelt cry from the bottom of our hearts.
Diolch am wrando. Thanks for listening. If we can help you further in any way, please use the contact form on our website.